Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening to all of my brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus. This is Radio Shepherd, and I'm so glad you tuned in for tonight's Bible study. As you know, we at Love Remnant Tabernacle Radio Church are endeavoring to minister to you, the blood-washed saints of God. And we take great pride in serving you with the standard of excellence. We wouldn't think of serving you no other way. We want to do it the way Jesus said it ought to be done. And this radio church is for the unchurched. What do we mean by the unchurched? Well, there are a great many people in the church who are really members of the mystical body of Christ, but are no longer members of a local church. And the reason why they're no longer members of a local church is because they just feel that their energies have been tapped out. They're tired of the pastors who rule like dictators and despots. They're tired of having to bow to the First Lady every time she comes in. They're tired of the fleecing. They're just fed up. They can't take it anymore of the constant demand for money. Money, money, money. And worship me, worship me, worship me. And so there are many now who truly love the Lord, but are unchurched. They don't go to a local assembly because within their geographical location, they have gone to the 5, 6, 10 churches in the area, and they all have the same disease. They all have the same disease. and that is that the local church now has become a family business. It's the pastor's little empire with his wife as the queen and as the first family, as the heir apparent. And people are just fed up. They can't take it anymore. And this is a pandemic. It's not an epidemic, it's a pandemic. And so this radio church is out to minister to you. If you're sitting at home because you just can't take the foolishness anymore. In addition to that, this radio church is here to minister to the underchurched. What do I mean by the underchurched? Well, there are many who are still holding on. They're still going to their local church. They love the brethren. They love the fellowship. But on Sunday, they're not getting much of a word. And during the midweek Bible study, not much of a word. And as far as being spiritually cared for, they're almost getting nothing. They're the underchurched. They're still going, connected to a local church, but they derive so little benefit, so little spiritual benefit, let me say, from the leadership. The Sunday school is watered down. The Sunday preaching is watered down. The prayer meeting is non-existent. The midweek Bible study, who knows what that is? Because every week you get a different teacher, and you don't even know what you're going to get when you show up to the midweek Bible study. And so Love Remnant Tabernacle Radio Church is making a consorted effort. A consorted effort to fill in those gaps for Christ's herding and scattered sheep worldwide. And we pray that even if you do find a local church, even if your search comes to an end and you do find a local church and you have to drive 2 hours away, to 2 hours from home to go to church, then go. Don't forsake the assembling of the saints together. By all means, go. But stay connected to Love Remnant Tabernacle Radio Church. We will supplement what you're getting. And we will boost your faith and your confidence in Christ Jesus. Also, in case you didn't know, Love Remnant Tabernacle Radio Church has 3 additional ministries. In addition to what the radio church does on a daily basis, we also have a teaching ministry called Daily Manna from Heaven. And there we give you a wonderful word from the Lord, a daily devotional. A daily devotional where you're going to receive a word from the scriptures that's going to again and again impart faith. Faith in God. Confidence in God. It'll cause you to be anchored in God. We have so many listeners at Daily Manna from Heaven. They just can't get enough. They just can't get enough of the word that we provide them. So in addition to Love Remnant Tabernacle Radio Church, there's another teaching arm to this ministry, and it's called Daily Manna from Heaven, and it's on Blog Talk Radio. Just yesterday, we celebrated a milestone. We recorded our 100th program on Daily Manna from Heaven. And people are tuning in droves. They can't get enough of the word. The word, the word. The word is so essential. And in this hour of famine, a famine of the word, if you turn on TBN, there's no word on TBN. Go to Daystar Network, there's no word on Daystar. much less on the Word Network, the Impact Network, God TV. There's no word. What you're going to get there is lies, the manipulation of Scripture, Scripture twisting, people encouraging you to sow by manipulating Scripture. Tune in to Daily Manna from Heaven. Get a word from the Lord without being badgered. We're not going to badger you to give. We're not going to shake you down. We're not going to twist Scriptures and tell you to sow. Tune in. And in addition to Daily Manna from Heaven, we have a show called The Wolf Tracker, in which we put the spotlight on certain wolves. You know, as a radio shepherd, see, the job of a shepherd is not just to feed the flock and guide the flock, but a great part of the shepherd's duty is to protect the flock, to protect the flock from spiritual and financial predators. And so on the Wolf Tracker program, which also airs daily, it's a ministry of Love Remnant Tabernacle Radio Church. And there we give you an eye-opening word, a discerning word that will help you keep your eyes open and peeled for predators who are on the prowl to deceive and fleece gullible Christians. So don't be gullible. Let us give you the tools and the know-how to detect wolves in sheep's clothing. And then finally, this church also has now a Bible Institute, and we just started. And we have two courses on there right now, and we're promoting this Bible Institute. We want to be able to train people. Perhaps God will use you to start a local church. Perhaps God took you out of a local church and will use you to start a church in his honor and for his glory. But you need training. And so the International Institute of Biblical and Ministerial Studies has been launched to train people who want to serve the body of Christ. So we have four ministries: Love Remnant Tabernacle Radio Church, Daily Manna from Heaven, The Wolf Tracker, and the International Institute of Biblical and Ministerial Studies. Please avail yourself of all that we have to offer you. We're offering you a lot, because to Christ you are worth a lot. And we are commanded, we're instructed, those of us who are in leadership position, we are instructed. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know I love you. Feed my lambs. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know I love you. Feed my sheep. So it is our love for God first and foremost. It is our love for Jesus first and foremost that compels us to go out of our way. And some are saying, wow, that's overkill. I mean, you have four radio programs and you're providing all this teaching. Yes, yes. You would be surprised how famished people are. There's such a famine of the word. And so we have an array of programs. And I am working overtime. Why am I working overtime? Because that's the way Jesus made me. I mean, I'm just going to work until I drop. He made me that way. Secondly, time's running out. Things are just getting worse. Time's running out. I've been commissioned to look for the remnant. I have been commissioned by Christ to seek out his remnant and to feed his remnant. And so I'm hoping not just to feed the lambs and the sheep, but also to inspire shepherds in the making right now who need training. And perhaps through these studies, they will hear the voice of God saying, go and do. So I am very, very, very excited about all that Love Remnant Tabernacle Radio Church is doing right now, all that it is endeavoring to do for the glory of Christ alone. And if you notice, listen, folks, if you notice, I'm never mentioned. On Daily Manner of Heaven, nobody knows who I am. On the Wolf Tracker, nobody knows who I am, other than when I'm on the Wolf Tracker program, I'm the Wolf Tracker. When we're broadcasting Love Remnant Tabernacle Radio Church, I'm the radio shepherd. That's it. Nobody needs to know who I am. All you need to know is that we love you and that we're serving you, and to Christ be the glory. Not out trying to build a name for myself. I'm not out trying to build a brand. God forbid. I say like John the Baptist, I must decrease that he might increase. These four radio programs are designed to glorify God, edify the saint, and demolish satanic strongholds. So you pray for all that we're doing. We beseech your prayers. We ask you to pray for us, for all that we're doing to represent the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, let's play one hymn. And I want to play for you that hymn. Tonight's theme is about the church. Tonight's Bible study is entitled Characteristics of a True Church of Christ. Characteristics of a True Church of Christ. And tonight we're talking about Christ the Shepherd and what he had to tell us when putting together a church. And so I want to play now the hymn, The Lord My Shepherd. Let's listen, and then we'll come back and do our Bible study.
Bye.
What a shepherd is our Lord Jesus Christ. And all shepherds would want to imitate him, the great shepherd, the great bishop of our souls, the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, look, if we were to build a church today, if we were starting a church, if we were launching a ministry, if we were establishing a congregation, there are some characteristics. There would be four things that I would submit to you. We would put in place first. We would ensure that these four things existed, were in place, and that the members who would come to this church would covenant among themselves and with God that they would do these four things. Now, we're going to talk about three of them this week, because I really want you to ponder what it is that I'm saying. And then this way we're only going to consider three points. After considering three points, we're going to leave the last point, which is we can really expand on that last point next week. And the last point has to do with leadership. The first three really have to do with membership and leadership, but more on the membership. So, I would say if we were a church, if we would look in the mirror collectively, if the whole church would look in the mirror collectively, we need to see these four traits. If any of these traits is missing, then we're really not a true church of the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's look at the first characteristic. And the first thing we need to be asking ourselves is this: are we continuing in Christ's words? Are we continuing in Christ's words? In other words, if we were coming here tonight and we were establishing a church, and let's say there were 15 people in my living room, the first thing that I would ask them to do is to covenant, to make sure that continuing in Christ's words would be one of the paramount things that we would do. So let's turn to the Gospel according to St. John. The Gospel according to St. John, chapter 8, verse 31 and verse 32. And it says, Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed in him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. See? Are we pledging, as we're starting this church, again, it's a hypothetical. If we were starting a church tonight and we were sitting in my living room, and I would say, okay, you want to be part of this church, then you have to pledge to Christ that you're going to continue in his words. Now, you're not going to follow me. I'm not your guru. I am not your prophet. I am not your savior. Everything that we do in this church will be based on the words of Christ. And we're going to monitor each other to make sure that we're all holding this standard, that we will continue in Christ's words. Now, today, in doing some research for the Wolf Tracker program, I was listening to some audio and watching some video in which there's a false prophet. And he was brought into the church in order to get the people to unequivocally follow the pastor and not to question the pastor. The terms that were used were the pastor is the Lord's anointed, the pastor is the apostle, and so this prophet was brought in to kind of put the people in line, because I guess that some of them are questioning some of the acts and some of the words and some of the things that the apostle is doing. And so the prophet says, no, you have to continue in the apostle's vision. No. Jesus doesn't tell us to continue in any man's vision. This is what Jesus says. Again, John 8:31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him. Now my question is, do you believe in Jesus? You didn't come here tonight as a founding member, as a potential founding member of this church to believe in me. We're here tonight because of Jesus. And all of us are to be his disciples. So he says, if you believe on me, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. So can we make this one of the critical points that we're going to hold on to? That as a new church, we pledge to always continue in Christ's words. There's safety in that. There's safety in following the words of Jesus. The moment any man or woman gets up in the pulpit and begins to spew out their own opinion and then tell you that they're the Lord's anointed and that they are God's voice to this generation, alarm bells should be going off. Because we are commanded to continue in whose words? Christ's words. We're no man's disciples. We are Christ's disciples. And then Jesus said, verse 32, now if you continue in my words, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you what? Free. You see, so Christ's words bring about liberation. They bring freedom. You see, the kind of obedience that this false prophet was encouraging the people to show towards this apostle was bondage. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, that's proof that you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. I want to be free. But only Christ's words produce freedom. How many people are following their pastor's vision, so-called vision, and is bringing them into bondage? It's bringing them into complete bondage. So we have to pledge, if we're a true church of the Lord Jesus Christ, one of the characteristics is that we continue in his words, all of us, that we're all, from the top to the bottom, from the leadership to the newest member in the church, we have to all pledge to continue in Christ's word, and that the leadership should not get mad or upset or belligerent if the members say, hello, leaders, we see you doing this, but that's not according to Christ. We shouldn't get mad, because we all pledged in the beginning to continue in Christ's words. We are our brother's keeper. And if any of the leaders are going contrary to Christ's words, then the whole congregation has to lift up a unanimous voice and say, wait a minute, we pledged we declared, we stated that as a church, as a congregation, as a family, we were going to continue in Christ's words. And that means everybody. No exceptions. See, that would be powerful. That would be extremely, extremely powerful. Extremely powerful. How many souls would be saved? How many heartaches would be averted? How many people would be brought into the kingdom if we just decided to do what Jesus said we ought to do, which is to continue in his word? You know, there's an added benefit. Jesus also said that if you continue in his word, you can go to the Father and ask the Father anything, and he'll give it to you. Prayers are answered when you continue, when one continues in Christ's words. So that would be one of the key tenets. One of the key tenets of any church who claims to be a true church of Christ. See, no exceptions either. The deacon board, the trustees, must also be committed to what? Continuing in Christ's words. No shady real estate deals. No doing it. No, we won't do anything contrary. Well, you know, if we do this, we can get land for the church. No, sorry. We've all pledged to continue in Christ's words. And this that you're proposing for us to do goes contrary to Christ's words. Therefore, we have to nix it. We don't want any part of it. That's powerful. That is powerful. If we were to do that, we can haul out of the church today 98% of the trash that's in the church. We can haul it out, put it at the curb, let the garbage men come pick it up. If we were to continue in Christ's words, if every church was to pledge, okay, we've deviated from Christ's words, we've ignored Christ's words, we've dismissed Christ's words for so long, but now there's a revival that's come, and we are pledging to continue in Christ's word. Boy, I tell you, 98% of the church's problems would be dealt with if we would all decide to continue to flow and obey Christ's words. But here's a second characteristic that we ought to be looking for, and it too comes out of the Gospel of John. And the second characteristic is found in John 13, verses 34 through 35. John 13, 34 through 35. And this is what it says. It says, "And the new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have what? Love one to another." See? Christ is looking for proof. See, he says, look, I'm looking for proof. If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. See, if you continue in my word, then that's evidence that you are my disciples indeed. But here's the second one. If you love one another the way I have loved you, if you can really love one another sacrificially, the way I've loved you, then men will know that you are my disciples. See, can we now let love dictate our behavior? You see, love, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, when a person truly loves, he does not put his or her needs first. For God so loved the world, what did God do? That he sent his only begotten Son to do what? To handle the needs of sinners. What were the needs of sinners? Well, they needed salvation. See, God loved, and God demonstrated that he was not selfish in that he gave his only begotten Son. His Son died that we might be reconciled to God. So now can we emulate Jesus? Can we emulate God? Can we really love one another? Can we truly be a church that's not led by ego? See, preachers today, why do they desire the pulpit? Well, ego. Ego. I want people to see me. It's about me. Then that's not love. Then other preachers make it about the money. Well, I have to be paid. I remember one time there was a minister who, two ministers, and one minister applied for a church, applied for the pastorate, and he was asked, why are you here? And he said, well, I'm applying for the job. So the denomination asked him, well, don't you want to know some particulars? He said, no. Is there an opening? Yes, I'll take it. That was his response. There's an opening? Yes. There are people who need a pastor? Yes, I'll take the job. Now, the second person who interviewed for the job asked, what was the salary? If the church had a parsonage, was there a leased car involved? Did the church provide a leased car? Was there a parsonage? Was there a salary? Was there a 401k? How many vacations did one get in the first year? Was there a retirement package? So you see, the second pastor was just interested in feathering his own nest. The first pastor who applied for the job just wanted to roll up his sleeves and serve God's people. Love. By this shall men know that you're my disciples in that you love one another. That first pastor knew that if he loved the people would love him back. Salary would never be an issue. Having a car would never be an issue. Parsonage would never, if he would love the people, the way Christ demands that we love them, salary would not be a problem. Parsonage would not be a problem. None of the things that a minister needs to get the job done would be a problem. The second pastor didn't care about loving the sheep because he was lusting after money. Just like Jesus said in John 10, he says, you know the shepherd, the true shepherd, from the hireling, because the true shepherd, when the enemy comes, when the predator comes, the true shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Whereas the hireling, as soon as the predator comes, as soon as trouble comes, the hireling quits and runs and abandons the sheep. Why does he abandon the sheep? Because he was only there for the hire. He's a hireling. He's only there for the pay. So here's the second tenet Can we make love our standard of relationship? Can we agape one another? Can we love each other the way God loves us, with an everlasting love? So Jesus says, you are my disciples indeed if you continue in my word. And then he says, all men will know that you're my disciples if you follow my example and you agape one another and you love one another. So that's the second cornerstone, if you will. And then the third would be bearing much fruit. Bearing much fruit. And that one's found in John 15. John, the Gospel according to St. John, chapter 15, verse number 8. And notice what the Lord says. This is Jesus speaking. Wherein is my Father glorified? In that you bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. You see, in each one, in when Jesus says, if you continue my words, that's proof that you're my disciples. Then he says, if you love one another, that's proof that you're my disciples. But then now he says, if you're able to bear much fruit, that proves you're my disciples. Now, Jesus never intended for the church to be filled with bench warmers. And that's what the church has become today. The church is where you come today and you come to get entertained, but no one's held accountable for what fruit they're bearing. Now, if fruit bearing is bringing in money, yes, then you're being held accountable because that's what these kleptocratic churches are like. They're monitoring how much tithe you bring in, how many offerings do you bring in, how many cookies do you sell, how many chicken dinners do you sell. Yeah, if you're a hustler for the church, if you bring in money for the church, then you get rewarded with a thank you. But that's not bearing fruit. Bringing in money is not bearing fruit. Soul winning is bearing fruit. He that winneth souls is wise. You see? Discipling the souls that are brought to the feet of Christ. That's fruit bearing. You see? Missions is fruit bearing. So my brothers and sisters, think of these three things. Can we pledge to continue in Christ's words? Can we pledge to love one another? Can we pledge to bear much fruit? Now, here at Love Remnant Tabernacle Radio Church, right now, these three things we're doing. We don't preach anything but Christ. All we do is emphasize the words of Jesus on this broadcast, in all of our broadcasts. In all of our four radio programs, all we're endeavoring to do is to ensure that you continue in Christ's words. The second thing that we're endeavoring to do through Love Remnant Tabernacle Radio Church and its affiliate broadcast, the second thing that we're endeavoring to do is to emulate Christ's love. Now, we're doing all that we're doing because we love you. Now, I don't know any of you. Through internet radio, I really don't know any of you. Now, I know that you've clicked on the follow button. I know that you've decided to follow the broadcast. I mean, I know that there's some names that keep appearing, that they've watched, they've listened to the broadcast. Yes, I know you by name, but I really don't know you personally. So what motivates us to keep doing what we do every single day? What motivates us to broadcast four broadcasts a day? And some people are saying, but you're overfeeding, it's overkill. So, no, it's not, because one program protects you from financial predators. Another program gives you your daily word. Another program is giving you your church. And another program is training others for ministry. You see, each program has an assignment. It's not overkill. Now, the problem is that since churches don't do anything anymore, churches have become so lazy that now you see all that we're doing and you're saying, boy, that's just too much. But that's because for so long you've been going to a place that's been doing nothing. But what we're doing is normal. And we're doing it, listen, like I said, I don't know any of the listeners personally, but I can tell you what motivates me to do what I do, my love for Christ. And he said, if you love me, feed my lambs, feed my sheep. So we're emulating this sacrificial love. It takes a lot to produce 4 broadcasts. It takes a lot, but we love it. We love to do it because we love Christ and we love you. And then finally, we are going to bear much fruit. We're commanded. We're going to bear much fruit in that we're going to shepherd the downcast and the outcast. We're going to bear much fruit because we are endeavoring to minister to Christ's hurting and scattered sheep worldwide. We are going to bear much fruit because in our little way, we're going to raise up ministers for Christ through the Bible Institute. We're going to bear much fruit because the undernourished, those in the body of Christ who should be getting meat yet get milk every week, we're going to feed them through daily manna from heaven. See, with these 4 broadcasts, we are bearing much fruit. And that's what Jesus said in John 15. Let me read it to you again. He said in John 15, verse 8, wherein is my Father glorified that you bear much fruit? So shall you be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so I have loved you. Continue ye in my love. You see, when you love, you bear much fruit. When you love. And I can tell you, I can say like Paul said. He says, I don't know you by face. He said this to the Colossians. He did not establish, he did not found the Colossian church. He says, I don't know you by face. I don't know you personally, but I can tell you that in Christ I love you. And that's why he penned an epistle to them. So, continuing Christ's words, continue to love one another, continue to bear much fruit. And if we do these 3 things, as Jesus said in his word, he said in himself, if you continue in my words, you're my disciples. If you continue to love one another, then men will know that you're my disciples. And if you bear much fruit, the Father is glorified, and indeed you're my disciples. And what is a church? Is not a church the body of Christ and Christ the head of the church? How can the head want one thing and the body do something else? If Christ is the head and the head says, continue in my word, love one another and bear much fruit, and we, the body, is doing everything completely different and the opposite, how in the world can we claim to be the body of Christ? How in the world can we claim and say with a straight face that we are his church when these first 3 things are being violated every minute of every day? No, my brothers and sisters, you see, Christ left us his word so that we would know what his church should look like. And so I want to encourage you. You continue in his words. Love one another and bear much fruit. Well, that'll do it for today. I want to remind you, come back next Thursday so that you can get the part 2, because the part 2 has to deal with how the leadership is supposed to reflect one of the characteristics of a true church of Christ. So don't miss next week. And please tell others about this church. You must know people who go to church and really derive no benefit from it. They even ask themselves, why did I even go today? You must know lots of people who are experiencing a famine of the word. You must know hurting people, scattered people, people who have left the church because they've been abused. Tell them about Love Remnant Tabernacle Radio Church. Tell them. Tell them about what we're doing. And please remember that we are entirely listener supported. We want to stay on the air. We want to continue to do what we're doing, but we just need your love gifts. Do not forget that we need your love gifts to continue to produce these daily programs, which are benefiting so many. Well, let me close the program today by playing this last hymn. It's a beautiful, beautiful song sung at a cappella. Let's listen to this beautiful, beautiful song, so angelic, entitled Gentle Shepherd.
Dissected and muddled by mazes of roads and never-ending highways. Lord, help us find your way. In a world of easy promises, empty guarantees, and quick-claim insurance policies, give us the security of your hand, Lord Jesus. At a time when we are confused by conflicting authorities that would tell us how to manage our marriages, our finances, and our children, show us your way. As we walk the tightrope of parenthood in these explosive days, training our little ones to live in a world for which there are no precedents, Lord, we just see you in all.